Hello and welcome to the Arsenal beat. It doesn't matter the competition. Mikel Arteta's side are still winning, and that continued with a comfortable 3-0 win over Bodo Glimt in the Europa League on Thursday night. Here to talk about that victory and look ahead to Sunday's visit of Liverpool, Dan Matthews of the Daily Mail and Football London's Kaya Kainak join me, Simon Collings of the Evening Standard. Kaya, someone who's getting a lot of praise this morning and last night was Fabio Vieira, who, you know, sort of flew under the radar for, I mean, a lot of the summer, even that tour that you were on because of his injuries. But what did you make of his performance last night and the way he sort of introduced himself to the Emirates?
Yeah, I thought he was really good. I thought it was interesting. This was his first ever start at the Emirates Stadium, but you would never have known it because of how well he fitted in with the rest of the team. I think he's quite seamlessly transitioned into the sort of the role he's got in this Arsenal squad. And his signing is such a good one in so many ways, because it's not just a signing that provides backup in a way that, I don't know, Matt Turner coming in to play backup for Aaron Ramsdale does. It's a signing that moves the needle a little bit higher in so many positions, because instead of just being a backup, he's a player who can come in and offer quality depth and, you know, a genuine starting option in so many positions. And he's got a lot of work cut out for him in the sense that it's the positions he's trying to get are sort of Gabriel Martinelli, Bukayo Saka, Martin Odegaard and Granit Xhaka. Those aren't easy positions to try and get. But personally, I thought Vieira was really good, really creative, really bright, buzzing around the place, drove into the box really well, not afraid to get shots off, which is like where I think he differs a bit from Odegaard in that respect. But after the game, I asked Arteta about him in the press conference. He wasn't as glowing as you might expect. He sort of was pointing out that there are sort of moments, bits of his game that he needs to improve. I don't think he was too happy with what he was doing defensively. I don't think Arteta was overly that pleased with the performance in general last night, but when it came to Vieira in particular, he did mention that sort of the defensive side of his game is something he needs to work on. And maybe that's what's separating him from sort of not being in the first team right now. You mentioned obviously him going a bit under the radar in the summer. I think some people forgot he'd even signed when he was sort of doing those lists of Arsenal players who'd signed. It was quite easy to forget that he had arrived, because he came sort of so out of the blue, and he came sort of with that injury that meant he didn't play at all in pre-season. But I think he's established himself as a really important member of the squad in these three starts that he's had now. And, you know, two goals and one assist and three starts certainly isn't a bad start to your Arsenal career.
Yeah, Dan, we were talking in the mix zone afterwards, weren't we? You know, praising his ability on the ball. But there was the odd moment you could see where Arteta, I think, got a bit annoyed, frustrated, where Vieira maybe held on to it a little too long. And is that perhaps something he's going to have to sort of tweak a bit in his game, given the pace of the Premier League, and that he might not get as many touches as he wants?
Yeah, there was one moment in particular, I think it was in the first half, where Arsenal were threading together one of their attacks and he held on to it. And I think he eventually lost the ball, and Arteta did his trademark kind of turn in frustration and kick the floor almost. And it was quite telling. I think everything Kai has said is correct. You know, it's been very easy to forget just how little football he's played. And I suppose in some ways, just how little he will have trained with Arsenal and been embedded in Arteta's system, just because of how much of pre-season he spent out injured. And those kind of small things in terms of, you know, the chemistry between the front men and the quickness of the movement and the quickness of the passing is something that Arteta talks about all the time. And those kind of small moments, which against Bodo Glimt won't make much difference because Arsenal are creating tons of chances. But if Arsenal are going to be really dangerous and hurt the best teams or you know, in games where they're not going to get tons of chances, you know, he can't afford to have players miss out on opportunities by holding onto the ball for too long. And I think when you compare him to someone like Martin Odegaard, that's the kind of level he's up against. It's not that Fabio Vieira is a bad player or that he was holding onto the ball for, you know, inordinate amount of times. It's that you're comparing him to the standard that Martin Odegaard's been setting in the early weeks of the season, and the relationship that he's built up with Gabriel Jesus, with Martinelli, and that the kind of quickness of the movement and the quickness of the passing moves between that front four has been so impressive. And one of the key things that Arteta said this week is throughout this period that they're building, it's not just about bringing in new players. Sorry, this period that they're going into with so many games, it's not about just rotating the squad. It's rotating the squad in a way that doesn't see a huge drop off in performance. And there's no way that Vieira is a huge drop off in quality. by any stretch. But, you know, at the top, top level, it's those small things. It's holding onto the ball for an extra second. It's taking an extra touch. And I think for some, in some ways, you know, it should be encouraging for Arsenal supporters that Arteta is seeing a player who looked really good and impressed a lot of people last night. But, you know, there are still those small things that he's not going to let him get away with. And I think, you know, that bodes well for the long term.
Yeah, in that vein of, you know, not having a drop-off, Kai, is the Zinchenko to Tierney, you know, exchange drop? Is that the smallest drop-off Arsenal have in the whole squad?
It's probably pretty close between those two and White and Tomiyasu, I'd say. They're both very good backups, if you can call them backups, because I think they both consider themselves as players who quite rightly will have a claim to a first-team spot. I thought Tierney was really good last night. Again, like in Zurich with the other Europa League game, I thought he was allowed to do a bit more of what Kieran Tierney's good at, which is just surging forward, overlapping. And we saw that with the first goal where he gets forward, Martinelli finds him on the left wing, drives into the box, is nice and direct, gets a really good shot off and is quite unlucky not to score. And then obviously Nketiah turns it home. We all know that when it comes to the inverted side of the game that Arteta wants from his fullbacks to dominate possession, Tierney's never going to be as good as Zinchenko at that. And I do think if Tierney has to play against Liverpool, up against Liverpool's high press, which obviously hasn't been as sort of amazing as it has been in previous seasons this time around, that feels like tempting fate for Sunday, but you know, I'm going to risk it anyway. But I would say that if you have to play Tierney in that, as opposed to Zinchenko, then that still is a little bit of a worry. And that's maybe just why Zinchenko's ahead of him in the pecking order right now. That's why he was chosen ahead of him against Spurs, I think. And it's why Tierney's going to have to be sort of comfortable with these Europa League games. But what I would say for Tierney is I think he's someone who's benefiting from not having to play every minute. He looks a lot more refreshed. He looks physically like he's capable of sort of offering a lot more, whereas sometimes in games in the past, you've seen him really get through and play through injuries, and probably that has led him to have even more injuries. And that's obviously a problem for him throughout his career. So I do think that being able to manage his minutes for Kieran Tierney is definitely a positive for him. And I do think that's a reason why we're seeing such consistently good performances from him. And, you know, Zinchenko wasn't in training on Wednesday. We don't know whether he'll be fit for Sunday. But if he's not, then Tierney is definitely a good player to come in. Having said that, there is that just that possessional and sort of technical lack that I think he has compared to Zinchenko. But it's, like you say, it's a really, really close battle between the two.
Yeah, we heard from Eddie Nketiah before this game, Dan, and he was, I think he measured himself quite well, given he obviously there was a sense of frustration for him that he's not getting the Premier League starts that maybe he thought he might get when he signed that deal in the summer. But in terms of what he's offering in the Europa League, it's not much more he can do really than what he's had so far, you know, two games, two goals. And again, his all-round play looked a lot more improved from what it was last season.
Yeah, it's really difficult with Eddie Nketiah because you watched him for the first kind of 65 minutes and I was really struck by like the work off the ball and the power, and he seems to have bulked up and you know, he actually took the goal really, really well. I think certainly my first viewing, I thought, oh, he just turned it home. Actually, when you watched on the replays, he, you know, he adjusted his feet brilliantly and, you know, could have had another chance. He had another good chance in the second half, almost laid one on for Martinelli. And, you know, there was a stat going around yesterday from Sam Dean that he scored 12 goals in his last 15 starts, which, you know, you can't ask for much more than that. And as Arteta said afterwards, you know, it is tough to leave him out. But then at the same time, this was very noticeable in pre-season and again last night, when they bring Jesus on, you can just see instantly just how much, you know, of a difference he makes instantly in terms of the intensity and the quality, you know, as shown by his assist last night. And that's the issue. It's not so much that Eddie Nketiah is, you know, not doing it or not performing when he gets the chances. He is, but it's just the issue for him is just the step up to Jesus appears so great. I think the only thing that will be of comfort to Nketiah is that Jesus hasn't really played 38 games in the Premier League season that often or at all, really. And Arteta spoke about that during pre-season, that they're aware of that and that is something they're going to have to manage. So you'd think chances will come his way and he can't do much more. But it's just unfortunate, I suppose, at the moment that he's behind a striker who has had such a transformative effect on Arsenal and has such an instant impact every time he plays.
Kyle, I'll give you the last word on Bodo. I mean, I think the only thing that struck me last night when the team sheet came out, we knew there was going to be loads of changes, but seeing, you know, Martinelli still in there, I think Xhaka probably has to play and Gabriel playing, you know, is there going to be a bit of an issue for Arsenal? They're going to have this run now of having these, you know, Thursday, Sunday games. If you look at that squad, is there a solution to not have to play Gabriel every week? Is there a solution to not have to play Xhaka every week? And does, you know, for the Martinelli debate, does Nelson need to get a start? Again, you know, someone Arteta spoke glowingly about, but feels like those three areas are the ones where Arteta doesn't really feel like he's got the chance to rotate, partly because of injuries, obviously, to the likes of Elneny.
Yeah, I think fitness played a big part in that selection yesterday. Obviously, Cedric, I think, only had one training session before the game, and maybe Arteta thought he wasn't quite ready. And obviously, if Cedric comes in at right back, then you can shift Tomiyasu across to left centre-back, which is where he plays for Japan. You've got yourself a Gabriel backup. As for Martinelli, I was quite surprised to see him start, because you and I said, we both asked Arteta about Reece Nelson. He was really positive about him, really upbeat, saying, you know, he wants to give him one more chance. He's not going to give up on him, and then leaves him on the bench and only brings him on for 10 minutes at the end. It doesn't quite add up. Having said that, I would be surprised if Nelson and Cedric don't come in next week for the return fixture in Norway. I think we'll see both of those two come in. I think on that artificial pitch, Arteta won't want to risk any players he doesn't have to. So, yeah, that'll probably be 10 changes. For Xhaka, though, yeah, I don't think there is a replacement. You mentioned Elneny being out, and with him being out, you know, you kind of have to play Xhaka in every single game. And he's got this sort of rep for being a bit of a machine who's able to play week in, week out, three times a week, no problem. Played twice across the international break for Switzerland as well. I think played the full 90 in both. And I did notice him getting a little bit tired maybe in the second half yesterday. I don't know if maybe he was just quite managing his minutes, or he knew he was going to come off around the hour mark and sort of slowed it down a bit. But he looked a little bit tired by the time he came off. And he's already played a lot of football this season, and Arsenal are going to have to use him consistently. And he's such an important player now that if he was to have to miss any period of time, the absence would be really keenly felt, not just because of what he's doing on the pitch, but the effect he has on the squad psychologically. We saw after the opening goal against Spurs, when Thomas Partey scores, it's Xhaka bringing everyone together to sort of have that huddle and get them to refocus. It's Xhaka generally doing that team match, the pre-match team talk in the huddle before kickoff. He's so influential in this team. So if he is to go missing, or is to be absent for, you know, let's say a couple of games because of a small muscle injury, then that will be a massive blow for Arsenal. But Mikel Arteta's hands are kind of tied. He can't really play anyone else at this moment in time. I think it's important to try and get the top place in the Europa League group stage, and then maybe you can start to look at resting and bringing in maybe a Matt Smith, or I think Caslin Kyrian was the other guy on the bench in the 21s. I don't know if Ethan Winery is in the Europa League squad. I think probably starting him in a game would be a bit too much right now, but then you can start to look at playing those younger players. If Arsenal win their first four games, they're probably through and they probably top the group, so maybe you can look at resting Xhaka then. But for now, I agree, it is a bit of a concern that he's having to play every single match. And I suspect that he'll start next week in Norway as well. And you know, I suspect we'll see a similar thing where he comes off around the hour mark, and managing those minutes is going to be crucial.
It's no coincidence, is it, that like the three positions that Arsenal were, you know, or that they were looking at strengthening towards the end of the window that they didn't, were, you know, a winger, a defensive midfielder, and then there was talk all window of a left centre back. And I think that, you know, that's they got a lot of work done very early, and you can see the benefits of that. But, you know, on the flip side, you can see the areas that they were clearly looking to strengthen, or, you know, people identified as a potential weakness, and we're seeing why they, you know, why they did see those weaknesses, and why they did want to strengthen wide and in central midfield, especially after the injury to Elneny. So, you know, I don't think it's a huge area of concern in the sense that people saw this coming, but, you know, it is what it is. And the issue is going to be over the next 11 games, you know, if one of those does get injured, there's nothing really Arsenal can do until January. And then January is notoriously January for trying to get deals done. So, yeah, I think that was the thing that struck me when you looked at the team sheet is how kind of illustrative it was of those three positions and the three positions that Arsenal were looking at over the summer that they didn't get done.
Yeah, I mean, given the Arsenal Beat's track record of predicting transfers, I would suggest Edu just give the pod a listen, and I'm sure come January window, he'll have some solutions for what he needs to do. On to Liverpool, though, Dan. I was going back and forth over WhatsApp last night with a friend of the pod, Charles Watts, about whether Arsenal are favourites for this game or not. I said they were. Charles said they weren't. Who's right?
You are. I think they have to be favourites. I mean, not just because of how they're playing, but because of how Liverpool are playing. Liverpool, you know, they're kind of clinging on to, in terms of results, like they got a good win over Rangers, and you know they got that win over Newcastle in the Premier League before the draw against Brighton. But you know, I think I looked last night, and I think if Arsenal win, they're 14 points clear of Liverpool, and that's not to erase the body of work that Liverpool and Arsenal over the last 5 years. Clearly, over the last few years, Liverpool have been streets ahead of Arsenal, and in any normal season, you know, there's no way Arsenal would be favourites, even if they were ahead of them in the table or on a good run. But I think if you look at the strides Arsenal appear to have made this season in terms of how they're playing, not just, you know, the results, and likewise with Liverpool, it's not necessarily just that Liverpool aren't picking up the results, it's that there seems to be serious issues in the areas that were once their strength, you know, at the back of midfield with Fabinho, or at centre-back, where Van Dijk, you know, hasn't been as good as he has been, which, you know, is perhaps for the first time in his Liverpool career. And, you know, those are issues which Liverpool, for me, have always been better than the sum of their parts. What's made them so good has always been the kind of cohesion and the way in which they work as a unit. And as soon as they start to malfunction, as soon as, you know, maybe players are having to play slightly out of position, the cumulative effect of that is always greater than, you know, maybe one, you know, the fact that X player or two players are missing through injury. And so I think if you look at both, where both are at this moment in time, I can't really see how you can make a case, apart from based on history, that Liverpool are the favourites.
Yeah, I think Charles's fears and reluctance to put Arsenal as favourites, Kyle, was down to Arsenal's track record against Liverpool, which is actually pretty bad reading. If you look since Klopp was appointed, it's October 2015, just one Premier League win, and that was behind closed doors, no fans, very much a smash and grab victory. That was in 2020. I mean, why do you think Arsenal sort of struggled so much against Liverpool, Kyle? Is it a thing that we've said with these big games that they struggle with the mentality, or has it been that simply, you know, Klopp has taken Liverpool to a level of ability and quality that Arsenal simply couldn't compete with over the last 3-4 years?
I think it's because the way Liverpool play, their tactics are sort of the exact type of team that Arsenal don't really want to be playing. And if you look at the games when Arsenal have played Liverpool in recent seasons, they've not necessarily had in some of them at least, they've not had their first choice players to call upon. And if you take players like Thomas Partey, for example, out of that middle of the park where he's so important to distributing and sort of being press resistant, and if you look at in the league games last season, I think Cedric played at right back, not as good on the ball as the other options that Arsenal have at right back. Left back, Tierney was playing instead of Zinchenko, we mentioned before, about sort of the technical side of things, all that kind of stuff. Up against Liverpool's high press, that feels like sort of the exact perfect storm for Arsenal to be on the end of a bit of a hiding, and that has proved to be the case in pretty much every one of their games. I think last season the aggregate score across the games was something like 8-0, or maybe I think maybe 11-0. I might be mixing up my seasons there, but there was a lot of games and Arsenal conceded a lot of goals, basically was the long and short of it last season. And I think the reason for it is because they didn't have the players capable of keeping their composure under the press in Liverpool, and at Anfield that's still quite a difficult thing. And I do think that the atmosphere at Anfield makes things a little bit more difficult when it comes to being sort of keep holding your nerve and dealing with the sort of the constant pressure that Liverpool provides. This time around, I do think Arsenal go into it with a different mentality that you mentioned there, in the sense that they've shown they can do it against bigger teams. I think ever since that Man City game on New Year's Day, they felt pretty confident going into big games, and I think I'm expecting them to show that at the weekend. They've obviously made additions since last season. Gabriel Jesus and William Saliba, who, when Dan started saying Virgil van Dijk hasn't been as good as, I was expecting to finish that sentence with William Saliba, but, you know, that's a whole nother point. But I do think Arsenal are in a much better position now to take on Liverpool. I don't know if I'd make them favourites in the way Dan was suggesting there. And I see why maybe people are doing that, just because of the way the two sides have played. But I think Liverpool, I think of Arsenal as sort of analogous a bit with Man City in the way they play. And if you look at Liverpool's record against Man City, it's so good. And the way Liverpool will play against Arsenal does, as I mentioned just now, feel like the exact kind of way that's going to cause Arsenal a lot of problems. So I personally can't quite make Arsenal favourites, but weirdly, given Liverpool's form, I don't think I can make them favourites either. I think it's going to be a really even game, so I'm going to sit myself perfectly on the fence and not pick a favourite for the two.
Do you think Arteta, I mean, let's start, Dan. Do you think Arteta should change how he plays, particularly if you look at the Spurs game and the way they dominated? And secondly, do you think he will change, or do you think we're going to see the same Arsenal we've seen all season, where they want to dominate and control the game? Or is there an argument that against a team like Liverpool, you're actually better sort of sitting off? And if you look at someone like Man United, who beat them earlier this season, giving Liverpool the ball is actually sometimes not a bad thing, whereas leaving them with space to hit you on the counter can be dangerous.
It's a really difficult one, because the momentum that Arsenal have built, you'd say it would be stupid to abandon the formula that has worked so well for them this season. I think in some ways the key position is left back. In some ways, I can't really see where you would make huge changes to Arsenal's side, or why you would make huge changes to Arsenal's side. I think the significant one would perhaps be left back, because against the front three of, you know, where Salah will probably play off the right, would you rather have the primary objective of your left back to be, you know, Kieran Tierney protecting Arsenal's back four against Mohamed Salah, or do you want to basically take the approach that teams like Liverpool have taken over the years, which is to basically back themselves against whoever they play, and back, you know, their formula? And so does Arteta take a leaf out of that book and a leaf out of City's book and say, look, we've won all these games by having Zinchenko, you know, as an inverted fullback, and we're going to look to control the game, and we back ourselves to beat them, you know, pound for pound almost. I think that will be instructive as to what Arsenal's approach would be. What I would do, to be honest, I'm going to do a Kyra and sit on the fence. I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure what the best answer is, and that's probably why I'm, you know, a journalist, not a manager. But I think that will be the key decision for him. But beyond that, I don't really see anywhere where Arsenal would massively improve by making a change, or where the logic would be with making any huge changes. I don't think there's any other weak points. Not that left back is a weak point, but I don't think there's any other area that is shouting that, oh, there's this much better option, or perhaps an option that would suit this game much better. I don't see it unless Kaya does.
It's sort of every week the subject of mentality and, you know, confidence has sort of come up either in the mix zone or Arteta's press conferences. The Spurs game, I think, certainly added to a lot of what Arsenal have been feeling confidence-wise. But as has been pointed out, Arsenal's record at home to Spurs was already very good. What would beating Liverpool, you know, do for this Arsenal team, Kai? Yes, as we've spoken about, Liverpool have had problems. They're maybe not the team they were a few years ago, but for this Arsenal's young side, what would it do if they beat Liverpool on Sunday?
I think Liverpool are the last big six team that Arsenal have to overcome an inferiority complex with. So they've shown they can play well against Man City. They've beaten Chelsea, they've beaten Spurs, they've beaten United. So they shouldn't have any fear going into any of those games. Going into Liverpool, because of the record we mentioned, they probably will have just a little bit of fear in the back of their minds, no matter how well they played this season. Which is why, you know, Dan sat on the fence there. I'm going to not sit on the fence. I'm going to say Arsenal have to play to their strengths. I think it would be pointless to now go into the Liverpool game having built up such confidence in themselves with this style of play, to then sort of cower to what they view as maybe a superior opponent when they now view themselves as being in a position where they're capable to go toe-to-toe with them. That victory you mentioned there behind closed doors, Arsenal sat back with the back five, and I think Reece Nelson and Lacazette got goals thanks to errors from Van Dijk and Alisson, if I'm not mistaken. That was because they were terrified of what Liverpool can do to them. Now they go into the game sort of 2-3 years down the line, no longer having that fear, or they shouldn't have that fear given how they played this season. So to suddenly flip the way they've been playing for the whole season and suddenly be fearful of what Liverpool can do to them instead of sort of focusing on what they feel they can do to Liverpool, to me, doesn't make any sense. I think now Arsenal do have to sort of seize the initiative and go into this game and face the sort of the difficulty head on. It will be difficult. And I do think Liverpool, even in this state, you know, not at their sort of former heights, can cause Arsenal a lot of problems. But I think Arsenal have to go into this game believing they can win it, and they have to play with that mentality that they're going to, and they have to stick to the principles that have got them this far in the season so far.
I think that if you're going to build a mentality of a top side, and you're going to effectively drill these principles into a team that you're, Kai's convinced me in the space of that answer, but I think if you're going to be Arteta and you're supposed to pull people along with the strength of your ideas and the strength of your personality, and you know this is the way that we're going to play, I think Kai's right to some extent. You have to be willing to back yourself, and it's not going to work every time. Football, you know, you can bet that it's impossible. You can't control so much of football, but I think if Arsenal's players and fans to some extent are going to believe in this system and they're going to, you know, back the so-called process, then I think you have to be willing to back it when, you know, when the stakes are at their highest. Then it might not always pay off. But I think in the long term, if Arsenal are building a side that they believe and are backing a manager that they believe is going to turn them into a side that is capable of beating anyone, then they have to then play to their strengths, as Kaya puts it, and back that system. That doesn't mean going completely kamikaze, but it means, you know, agreeing that this is the way we're going to play and it doesn't matter who we play against. And I think if they do that and Liverpool will play how we know they're going to play, I think it'll be a fascinating battle, and can't wait, really.
Mm. Right, we'll finish by getting you two off the fence. Just some quick score predictions. So, Kai, what are you going for?
I was hoping to avoid this. I was hoping to stay on the fence for the rest of the podcast. You know what? Actually, I'm gonna stay on the fence. I'm gonna go for a 1-1 draw between the two sides. I do think it's gonna be a really entertaining game, but if you ask me to pick a winner, I'm going to refuse. So there you go.
And Dan?
He's gone for the Mark Lawrence and won all.
Liverpool are still unbeaten if judging by Mark Lawrence's score predictions.
I think it will finish Arsenal 2-1. Arsenal will go into a 2-0 lead probably midway through the second half, and Liverpool then go for it and get one back. But I think the way Arsenal are playing at the moment, I personally can't, well, obviously I can see how Liverpool are going to win, but I think my bet at the moment would be on an Arsenal victory.
Right, very nice. A nervy finish at the Emirates. That sounds pretty familiar anyway. We will finish, though, with a round of Guess the Gooner. Everyone's favourite game, where I'll read out hints and clues for Kai and Dan to identify an Arsenal player, past or present. If you get it on your first guess, you get 10 points, second guess 9, 8, and so on and so on and so on. Just shout if you think you know the answer. Everyone at home is normally screaming by the time one of the guests gets it. So let's play Guess the Gooner. I played 56 Premier League games, but only 13 of them came for Arsenal. Silence. I won a trophy on my Arsenal debut. I I signed for Arsenal in 2014 and departed in January 2018, but also spent time out on loan during that spell.
Kaya, I'm going to say Mattia Debuchy.
It is Mattia Debuchy.
Hey.
There we go. God, that's quick by our standards. There we go. I mean, that's...
I'm very happy with that.
Normally, normally the host is scrambling on Wikipedia to find some more clues. I mean, the rest of the clues, for anyone who was playing at home and hadn't got it yet, see where you've got it. I picked up 27 senior international caps, scoring 2 goals. The other 2 trophies I've won in my career were the Ligue 1 title and the 2011 Coupe de France. I'm still playing now in Ligue 2. My other Premier League club was Newcastle.
See, for me, I remember it quite a sad moment, Debuchy signing, because it was sort of the official confirmation that Carl Jenkinson wasn't going to make it as a right back. So that's why it sticks in the memory for me.
That's similar to when you find out Santa's not real, isn't it? When yeah, Jenkinson's told he's going.
Exactly.
But anyway, look, everyone, you guys, thanks for being on the pod. Everyone, thanks for listening. We'll be back early next week to take a look back at the Liverpool game and also look ahead to Arsenal's game in Bodo, with a number of Arsenal beat regulars heading out to the Arctic Circle. Stay safe.